If it was going to take 6 months, would that make this suitable mandamus as opposed to 6 hours?
If it were going to take 6 months, I'm sorry, would it make it suitable to mandamus?
As opposed to a trial that's going to take 6 hours.
You just stay up at night and think these questions up. I would say that there really, I don't think we want to get into the situation of where we start granting writs of mandamus because of the length of the trial. And so I would say the answer to that is no. However, there's an underlying policy that you hit upon, which is the cost and, I mean, this is an outrageous cost and expense of what's going on. You grant mandamus, you wipe Tomah out from what it's done from April of 87 until June of 89. You tell the lawyers, you know, I tell my clients, there are rules. We're going to abide by the rules. I don't care what the other side does. We're going to abide by the rules. Only one set of rules. Though I don't want you to make another set of rules. Don't want you to say somebody can disobey the rules. Because of the expense and the cost and the length of time that's been involved in this. Because what happens is this gobbles up all this time. People get diverted from their businesses. They spend enormous amounts of money on legal fees. It's an enormously inefficient and time-consuming process, as you know. And discovery is very costly and expensive. And, you know, in Texas, we have our Texas Lawyers Creed that we're trying to implement in November 7th, 1989, trying to curb exactly this kind of conduct.
You're painting a picture here that you come in here with clean hands and a white knight and the other guy's a bad guy. You say the micro Rambo lawyers on both sides, and you're saying that if we comb the record, we will find no fault in any way in professionalism to you and your program.
Absolutely.
If you paint a black and white picture.
Absolutely.
And very, very rarely do we see that demarcation.
May I respond? I understand exactly what you're saying, and I guess my answer to that would be this. I'd trust the people who tell you the most information about what's going on. Look at the two briefs that were filed. You will see that when you compare the timeline of Tomah with the timeline of Transamerica that describes the facts, that Transamerica left out most of the important information between March and May. And you will find it at pages 6, 7, 8, and 9 in the brief that was filed by Tomah.
One other question. If mandamus is granted and you have to go back and do discovery, in terms of discovery, which is notice now, is there a significant amount of discovery in addition to this one deposition of the president that remains to be done?
If discovery, now that depends upon what happens in mandamus, and actually this is a very complicated area as I see it, because the question would be, if you actually granted mandamus, the question would be, what really happened to the discovery cutoff? The same would be true with respect to refiling pleadings, because the pleadings that were originally filed waived certain kinds of defenses because they weren't asserted and they were lost. If you opened it up again, I would think there would have to be, and Transamerica would attempt to have a big discovery period, because they know really nothing of of Tomah's damage case, because they didn't do any discovery. I mean, their attempt would be to try to discover what's actually going to be put on evidence, because they neglected to do it for 2.5 years. So that's a whole separate issue, and my suggestion on that would be, is if this court actually gets to the stage where it wants to do that, that perhaps you would request proposals or request additional information from both sides with respect to how that would be handled, or you're just going to put it back in Judge Powell's lap and say, you know, gee, do the best you can, we're going to grant mandamus. You know, he's got a docket control order. The time has gone by, the game is over.
What effect were the findings of Judge Leal in the bankruptcy court that the pipe was defective?
I got a lot to say about that subject. I'm going to boil it down. I don't think it has any effect for the following reasons. Number one, there are different issues, different burdens of proof, and different legal issues and different fact issues involved in that case. Number two, what you don't know is that that case is on appeal. The underlying order that went to Judge D'Enda, which was reversed, is up on appeal to the Fifth Circuit. Second time. I went up and argued once in the Fifth Circuit already on this case. So I don't think Judge Leal had any jurisdiction. I think it was, although it was a hoped-for result, I believe that it was a hoped-for result by Transamerica. Nobody assumed that would take place at the time that it took place. Thirdly, it was an affirmative defense. Res judicata is an affirmative defense. You don't need pleadings, you can't assert it. It's gone. It's waived on it. And there is another more complicated issue, which is it a core versus a non-core finding? If it's non-core, it's a report and recommendation, and Judge DeAnda has to sign it. He's the district judge there, as you know. If it's a core proceeding, that may be an order that was within the jurisdiction of Judge Lael, assuming he ever had jurisdiction. Ordinarily, as you know, when it goes up to the Fifth Circuit, he's deprived of jurisdiction except for ancillary matters. So our view of that is no impact. Any other questions? My only task then are to submit the additional information as we've discussed by Monday.
Yes.
Thank you for your attention.
May it please the court,
counsel.
If this mandamus is proper, why won't mandamus lie from every discovery sanction from now on?
Your Honor, this mandamus action can be distinguished from most mandamus actions that are filed with this court, because what we are here about is that Judge Powell struck the pleadings of Transamerican in a lawsuit, in a state court action, which he had no power to do. He granted the ultimate sanction for the failure of a witness to appear at a deposition, first of all, without conducting a hearing pursuant to the local rules.
Well, wait.
Secondly,
you're saying there was not a hearing date set,
Your Honor,
to which somebody could request for an oral hearing and could not request, but at any rate, a date where everybody knew that was the date and had to respond in writing or request an oral hearing.
What happened on the submission of the sanctions of TOMA to Judge Powell is that Transamerican had previously filed a motion for protection for the deposition of the president of Transamerican and had set it for submission on May 12, 1989. TOMA piggybacked their motions for sanctions with a motion or response to the motion for protection and an amended motion for sanctions and set the amended motion for sanctions for the same date set by Transamerican, May 12th. The problem is their motion for sanctions were filed within the 10-day period that's required in the Harris County local rules. The Harris County local rules requires 10 days notice before a hearing or submission. They filed their motion for sanctions 8 days before and 4 days before the date of submission. The amended motion for sanctions is the one that was a live pleading in front of Judge Powell, and that was filed just 4 days prior to the hearing date. Transamerican attempted to respond to those amended motions for sanctions and tried to get their pleadings in front of Judge Powell before he ruled. According to the affidavit that's before the court, Judge Powell didn't even consider Transamerican's response to those motions for sanctions. Transamerican filed a motion to reconsider after the sanctions were granted. The basis for the motion to reconsider was that Judge Powell, they haven't complied with the local rules for submitting matters before the court. When they went down in front of Judge Powell on the hearing, he said, I don't want to hear any more about this matter. I made up my mind on it.
Was that because he was frustrated, tired, foot dragging, gamesmanship, and lays, and this was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Your Honor, I can't suggest any reason why.
And all that, without giving him his discretion. I mean, that was his posture. He was tired.
Your Honor, that very well could have been his reasons. However, in order to sustain the granting of the ultimate sanctions against Transamerican in this case, it takes more than just being tired of a case. There has to be some egregious act by Transamerican to warrant the granting of the ultimate sanctions against him.
Let's suppose that Judge Powell abused his discretion. Just assume that. Why isn't this a case that it's appropriate for this court to wait to take it on appeal? I mean, this is not like a situation where discovery information is denied, a party that's entitled to it doesn't get it, and they're not going to get it. I mean, you can go all the way up the chain, but you need to know what it is before you can decide whether it's relevant or not. But here,
this action is going to be the same whether we decide it today or whether we decide it in a year or two.
Your Honor.
What type of judicial efficiency is served by this court taking every dismissal on a direct appeal, essentially?
Your Honor, this dismissal is not like some of the other dismissals that perhaps may come before this court. The key issue that this court needs to focus on is that Judge Powell granted these sanctions after the discovery cutoff that all parties are supposed to abide by. And in fact, Transamerican was forced to abide by that discovery cutoff even when they moved to extend it. And then less than a month later, their pleadings are dismissed because a witness failed to show up at a deposition noticed after the discovery deadline and in which there was no agreement. And it is undisputed before this court that there was no agreement for the president of Transamerican to appear before TOMA for depositions on May 2nd. There was no agreement. There's a letter that's before this court shown as Exhibit C in which TOMA's own counsel even states that we have not been able to reach an agreement on a date certain. So that what has happened is that Judge Powell has granted the ultimate sanction in dismissing the pleading of Transamerican when he had no power to do so. Now, he could have perhaps extended the deadline for discovery early on when we requested it, and then if a witness didn't appear at a deposition and there is no good reason for his non-appearance and other factors that may be considered in granting the ultimate sanction. But that didn't happen in this case. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here before this court asking that you mandamus Judge Powell allow us to reinstate our pleadings, allow us to go forward with the trial of this case because the equities in this matter certainly weigh in favor of Transamerican in light of Judge Leal's recent ruling that the pipe supplied by TOMA was defective and that they're collaterally estopped from pursuing their $52 million counterclaim against Transamerican in the trial court, of which they've been granted default judgment as of today.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument in the first matter. The court will take a brief recess.
The audience will be right.